Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, the topic tonight is conflicts, which in Hebrew would be machloket. How the machloket starts, how the conflict starts, and how to avoid conflicts which we have all different areas in life. A person could be involved in machloket. So before we start, I want to read you a will that Rambam, the Maimonides, wrote to his children. So Rambam writes, "Al teshaketzu et nafshotechem b'machloket." Don't discuss your neshama, your soul, in machloket. Amechale aguf v'anefesh v'amamon. When we have conflicts, destroys your body, your soul, and your wealth. Ra'iti banim ishchiru, mishpachot nisbachu, ayarot nit'ar'eru. Said, I saw children that they got destroyed. I saw families they wiped out. I saw the cities that they fall apart. Kibusim nifredu, chasidim nifsedu, and shemuna avadu. And I saw gatherings that they divided. I saw chasidim that they lost. And I saw good people, they got destroyed. ונכבדים נקלו ונתבזו בסביבת המחלוקת. And very respected people, they also got destroyed because of מחלוקת. נביאים נבאו חכמים חכמו ויוסיפו לספר רעה מחלוקת ולא הגיעו לתכליתה. So I saw prophets that they prophesied, and I saw חכמים that with their all their knowledge, they tried to explain to people the destruction of machloket, and they didn't get to where they're supposed to get. Lachen sinu otav yenusu mipanea. As Rambam writes in the end to his children, that I want you to hate machloket and run as far as you can from it. This is what the Rambam writes in his will. So you see that machloket, conflict, is something that every possible way that something could get destroyed comes from machloket. If you have to put your finger on something that because of that everything could get destroyed, families could get destroyed between husband and wives, and between partners and businesses, that could bring destruction, is machloket, conflicts that people have. The Gemara tells us on Sechet Sanhedrin, "Kol ha-machzik v'machloket over belav." Anybody that machzik v'machloket, what does that mean? Machzik v'machloket doesn't mean that you start the machloket. Machzik v'machloket means that you're holding on to a machloket. If there is a machloket already, you want to be part of that. You're transgressing a love in the Torah. What love is that? Shenemar velo iye ki Korach ka'adato. You should not be like Korach and his nation and his people. Where do we see from the Torah that machloket is so bad? The main part in the Torah that talks about machloket is Korach. The parasha of Korach. Korach started this conflict with Moshe Rabbeinu, and because of that, we had so many people got destroyed, and we learned so many different ways of understanding conflicts. Now, Pirkei Avot tells us, "Kol machloket she'i l'shem shemayim sofa l'etkayem." Any machloket that you're doing it for the sake of Hashem stays. In the end, as a good result, v'she'en al shem shamayim en sofa leitkayem. But if you don't do it for right reasons, you don't do it because you really care about Hashem, and you are not doing it for right reasons, en sofa leitkayem, it's not going to last. of the Gemara, Mishnah, the Kavod continues, says, Eizohi Machloket Shel Shamayim, what would be the best example of Machloket, that conflict that is for the right purpose? The Machloket Shamay Ve'ilel. Mishnah says that's Machloket between Shamay and Hillel. V'she'ena L'shem Shamayim, what would be the right, what would be the example of Lo L'shem Shamayim, what would be the right example of non Lashem Shamayim? So Machloket Korach Ka'adato. That would be the example of Korach and Adato. But this Mishnah raises a lot of questions. First of all, what is Lashem Shamayim? What's not Lashem Shamayim? How do you define what's Lashem Shamayim? How do you define that it's not Lashem Shamayim? And also the Mishnah says, what would be the example of Shelo Lashem Shamayim? What would be the right machloket that is not for right purpose? It says Korach va'adato. Really should have said Korach Moshe Rabbeinu. The machloket, the conflict was between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Conflict was not between Korach and his nation. The machloket was between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why the Mishnah doesn't say that? Now the first question, what is Lashem Shamayim, what's not Lashem Shamayim? What is what's the definition of having a machloket for the right reason, which is like Shamay and Hillel, and what would be the definition of Shelo Lashem Shamayim, which is not for right reasons? Lashem Shamayim means that you're doing it 100%, not 99%. You're doing 100% for the sake of Hashem, and you're doing it for the sake of the truth. You are not doing it, not even 1% for your own reasons. If you have one idol that you are going to gain from that, that's not Kaseh L'Shem Shamayim. Then you are not fighting for right reasons. Then you are not having a machloket for right reasons. Shelo L'Shem Shamayim, that means that you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it because you're gaining something from it, and you're doing it for your own kavod, you're doing it for your own name, and you're doing it for gaining something in the end. That's Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. Now I want to tell you a midrash. Then you, I think, you have to do the math yourself. Midrash says, "En ben gan Eden legeinam ela kotel tefach." So it's a tremendous, tremendous midrash. You should always remember this midrash. So midrash says, there is no difference between gan Eden and Gehinam. Between gan Eden, everyone knows what gan Eden is. And Gehinam is only Kotel Tefach, which means that you have like a thickness of a wall the size of a Tefach. Tefach is this big. That's what the distance between Gan Eden and Gehinam is. What does that mean? That means that if somebody is having a machloket, is having a conflict, because they think they're doing the emet, they're doing the right thing, and they're fighting for right reasons. But if they have even an idea of Shelo L'Shem Shamayim, if they're having an idea of something that is not emet, then this is where you are holding, between Gan Eden and Gehinnom. People, they always, 99% of the time, when people are having a fight, they're having a machloket, they're having it because they feel they're doing it for right reasons. They're doing it because they're doing it, this is the emet, truth, is that's the way it's supposed to be, I'm fighting for the right reason. Even people, husband and wives, I've seen it all the time. Everybody's fighting for the right reason. I'm doing it L'Shem Shamayim. Everybody feels like that. Nobody feels that they're doing something wrong. But this is what the difference between Gan Eden and Gehinnom is. This is what between the garden of Eden and hell is. A kotel of tefach, which is so small, a person could fall from one place to the other place so easily if you don't have the right kavanah, right intentions. Shammai and Hillel, they have to understand what was Shammai and Hillel. Why is Shammai and Hillel are the definition of Lashem Shamayim? Why only they are considered machloket Lashem Shamayim? Why they are the only ones that are example of conflict for the right reason? Because when they fought over an halacha, they didn't care who is going to win. They didn't care who halacha is going to be like. There is no intention of making sure that the halacha is like me. I'm fighting because I want to prove I'm right, and Hillel didn't fight because he wanted to prove he's right. They both fought because they wanted to get somebody to make sure the halacha is right, not like me or like them. That's the Lashem Shamayim. When people are fighting and they don't care, they have no intention of proving themselves right or wrong, then you know that they're fighting for right reasons. But if they are there to prove somebody's right or prove somebody's wrong, then you are not there for right reasons. That's not Lashem Shamayim. Now, there is a very interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which is not known to a lot of people, by the way. The halacha says in Shulchan Aruch that 7th of Adar, we fast. Right? Some people give seuda, some people they fast. 7th of Adar is the yotzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? That everybody knows. There is another date in Adar that people also fast, and there's the 9th of Adar. But that nobody knows anything about. What's the 9th of Adar? The Shulchan Aruch says that's the day that Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, they had a machloket. That's why we fast. Now, why are we fasting? If Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, they fought for right reasons, they had a machloket, Lashem Shammayim, why are we fasting? They did it for right reasons. The Gaon, the Aruch HaShulchan explains the reason that you are fasting is it could be a little bit something out there that maybe wasn't the Shem Shamayim. Therefore, they instituted a day of fast. That it could be between the Talmidim, students of Bet Shammai, students of Bet Hillel, maybe something a little bit there that it wasn't 100%. And because of that, we fast on the 9th of Adar. So you see how far Chazal, Chachamim, they went to make sure that they understand what is considered a machloket. How far did they look into? Even those that they fight Lashem Shamayim, even those that they have an argument for right reasons, it's impossible that you don't have a little bit of your self-interest in there. If you have self-interest in the middle of that, then it's not 100% Lashem Shamayim. Now I want to go over the machloket of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, and we see how many different ways Korach wanted to have machloket with Moshe Rabbeinu. Why he wanted to have he wanted to have machloket with Moshe Rabbeinu? And if we understand every part of that, we see that we are included into this mess. Machloket is something that every human being, I don't care where you're from and what's your background, you get involved somewhat. Somehow you get involved with machloket. In some people they get into big way, some people get in smaller way. The first thing that Korach was involved with, Midrash tells us, Korach shepikeachaya. Korach was a smart man, was a genius, right? Why did he start a machloket for? What was his intention of starting a machloket Moshe Rabbeinu? Midrash says, "Eino it ato." His eyes made him crazy, right? confused him. So Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal, says that what does that mean, eno it ato? What does that mean that his eyes confused him? He says, koach shel negiyah. When a person has negiyut, if you have a self-interest in something, there is nothing in the world to stop you. If you are getting involved with something, when you give your 2 cents of ideas that somebody asks you, if you feel that you have a self-interest into that, then don't give ideas. Stay away. Don't get involved. Because when you have interest in anything, you want, impossible to give an advice to somebody that is really 100% and you're doing it for right reasons. And this is what Korach did. Korach had negiyut. He had self-interest. He asked all these questions of Moshe Rabbeinu, not because he wanted to figure out what's right, what's wrong. He was doing it because he had negiyut. And this is the chet of Meraglim, the spies. When they went to Eretz Yisrael, why did they mess up? You think they went into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't see such a beautiful land? They saw that. But they had an negiyut. They had a self-interest. They knew if they get into Eretz Yisrael, they are not going to be the Nassim anymore. They are not going to be the Baal Abbas. Therefore, they messed it up. They didn't say the right things. So I want to tell you a story. It's a true story happened in Eretz Yisrael. There was a shadchan that he put a boy and a girl together, and they went out a few times. They liked each other, and the parents met. They wanted to announce the engagement. A day before they announced the engagement, one of this shadchan's best friends, out of Eretz Israel, called him up. He said, I'm coming to Israel with my daughter, and I'm looking for a shidduch for my daughter. And he said, that if you find a good shidduch for my daughter, I'm giving a lot of money to this. I have a lot of money that I want to give a shadchan to find a good shidduch for my daughter. The shadchan thinks. So that's perfect. I have a perfect shidduch for her. He goes to the mechutanim, the ones that they are supposed to announce that they are getting engaged. He goes to one of this one set, and he says, I see that your daughter and the son, they both like each other, but you should know that I heard so many different things that he talks about you very badly, he says bad things about you, and he discourages the person that he should go away with get in with the shidduch. Then he goes to the other one, says the same thing to them. Right? And they break the shidduch off. That's it. Finished. Then the man, his friend, comes in. And nobody gains by this type of machlokot. Nobody gains by making up this type of sipurim, stories that they want to destroy people's lives. And he puts up shidduch with them. Nothing goes. The other one, they didn't like each other. Now this shidduch didn't work out. The other shidduch didn't work out either. Meanwhile, a month later, the two parents, they see each other. One of them says, "No, my daughter liked the other boy. Boy also liked my daughter. Why this thing didn't work out?" He calls up the other side and he says, I don't know why this all should have fall apart. He says, "I don't know either. They told me that." I said, "What are you talking about? I never said a thing about you. I didn't talk about them." And then they both find out that this shadchan, because he had negiyut, because he had such a self-interest into this, he went in and made all this balagan, this mess, and both this shidduch came together, and they got married. Now, this shadchan goes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He wants the money for shadchanut. What a chutzpah. He said, because of me, these two they put together, they got married. They need to pay me. So Rav Chaim Konevsky said to him, if you ask one more thing, I'm going to announce in all the shuls in Bnei Barak that they should put you in cheren for doing such a thing. Not only you don't deserve to get a dime, but they should really put you in cheren to make it such a machloket by putting these people, destroying people's lives. The thing is here that this Shatran, the only reason he did it was only one thing: self-interest. Look at the machloket that came out of two mishpachot, two families, and the other one came from chusrars. How many lives, how many isurin, how many sufferings were involved because of one person's egoist? He wanted to have his own benefit, didn't care about any other people's feelings. When somebody gets involved with the situation and they have a self-interest, they think they're going to get something out of it, stay away. Don't, even if you think you are giving a right advice, even if you think that you are getting involved for the right reasons, don't get involved. It's impossible. Not that it shouldn't be, it shouldn't benefit from that situation. The second thing that we could learn from Korach. We know the Midrash that Korach came to Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, the Torah said, Va'asu lahem sisit. If you have a sisit that everything is techelet, do I need to put string in it? He started making fun. Start making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if I have a house full of sefarim, do I need to put mezuzah on the door of that library? Why do I? Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, said if the whole house, the whole room full of sefarim, why do I need mezuzah? Do you think Korach cared about halacha? He wanted to make leitzanut, making jokes, making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. Another way of this, the way the machloket between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu Sad was because of leitzanut. Rav Ben Ishchai explains, he says, that's the peshat of eno itato, that his eyes fooled him. That means that everything, that he looked at everything with his eyes in a jokey way. Everything was joke to him. Everything was leitzanut to him. Everything was fun. No, he didn't care about getting the truth. And because of that, got into such an unbelievable machloket with Moshe Rabbeinu. When people they are not serious about something, they say things and they're making fun of stuff and they throw words out and they are not serious about the situation, what comes out of it is, because of that, it becomes machloket between people. Now the Mesilat Yesharim, the Ramchal, says, Leisanun mesaleket min adam kol itorerut bitfahalut shel musar ve'ira. Ramchal says that leisanut, when people joke, takes away from a human, from a person, every possible itorerut, every possible connection that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it goes away. You have no connection anymore. When you start making fun of things, when you start making jokes, and on cheshbon, on account of other people, that causes a machloket. That causes conflict. We have to, when you are getting involved with people, you have to be serious. Don't start making machlok and making fun. This guy is this, the guy is that. Why is doing this? Why is doing that? These are the cause of machlok. The third thing, makir et makomo. This is, if I have to put my finger on one of the most important cause of conflict, is this one. People don't know their place. The Pirkei Avot tells us there are 48 ways that a person could acquire Torah and could acquire the Yirat Shamayim. One of the things that the Pirkei Avot tells us is Amakir et Mekomo. When you know who you are and you know your place. If you don't know your place, you destroy everything. Korach thought to himself, said, nobody's going to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu got involved with the spies and destroyed everything. Everybody's upset with Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody's going to listen to Moshe. I got Moshe Rabbeinu. I could destroy Moshe Rabbeinu now. And that was he brought himself up. He became somebody important. Now he's up. He doesn't know his place. Who are you to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why do you get involved with something that is not your place? There was a mice in Hebron Yeshiva. There was a Shaliach Tzibur davening. And you know, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Hebron 100 years ago, big people. This Shaliach Tzibur was davening. Someone of the students in the Yeshiva went up to the Shaliach Tzibur and says, you know, it's after Shekiah, after sunset, don't say Tachnu. The Shaliach Tzibur descendants say Tachnu. The Rosh Yeshiva Rav Leiv Chassman comes up to him and says, why didn't you say Tachnu? He said, one of the students came up to me and told me it's after Shekiah, he didn't say Tachnu. So Rav Leiv Chassman goes to all the Rosh Yeshiva that are sitting there, said, let's all of us go home. They don't need us here. There is somebody here that knows more than us. Why do we need to be here for? And this Shaliach Tzibur says, what are you talking about? He said, how somebody that's not his place talks about halacha? How is somebody that doesn't know anything tells people what to do? And this is the cause of machloket. When people that have no business to talk about something that is not their business, you cause machloket in people. I see that all the time. They get involved with people, with the families, with the husband, no neighbor. Happens all the time. Somebody goes up to the wife and says, why your husband is doing this and that? What is your business? When people are giving information, they're giving advice without being asked to give advices, they're getting a butting into people's business. Amakir et mekomo, and you have to know who you are, what you are, and where is your place. If you talk more than you are supposed to talk, you're starting a machloket between people. It just sounds like it's life. That's what Korach did. What Korach did was, he got involved with something that was not his place to be involved with. You know what the prime example of this is? Mother-in-laws and mothers, when they get involved with their children's lives, it's not their business to get involved. When they have machloket, when the couples are machloket, a lot of times it's because parents are giving advices to their children without they being asked. I know they mean well. They really mean well. They want to give right things, but it's not their place to give it advice. They're not asked. This is what Korach did. What Korach did in this by Moshe Rabbeinu, he got involved with something, he said something that he wasn't his place to talk. And the fourth thing is kavod. When people are looking for kavod, for honor, the Midrash also tells us that Korach had kin'ah, was jealous to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu. I am Korach. Shmuel Anabi is going to come from my descendants. What's the difference between me and Moshe Rabbeinu? Why Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rosh, is the Nasir, Rabban Shel Israel, and I'm not? He got so upset, and he couldn't take it. When people have their ego, when they're looking there for their own kavod, when they are looking to get respect and they think they deserve the most respect in the world, then nothing could stop. The biggest enemy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it was Yerovam ben Nevat. Yerovam ben Nevat is the one that destroyed Beit HaMikdash. Yerovam ben Nevat was the one that Imamash destroyed Aseret HaShevatim, the 10 tribes of 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 12 Shabbatim was destroyed because of Yerobam ben Nebat. How is Yerobam ben Nebat became that? So listen what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Yerobam ben Nebat was Adam Gadol, was a great man. Right? And he said, Hashem went to Yerobam ben Nebat. He said, listen, Yerobam ben Nebat, you are a great man. The Gemara says, Hashem took his jacket. And it says, Chazor Bacha, come back. Va'ani va'ata u'ben ishai mitayel began Eden. Do you understand how big a person do you have to be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to talk to you? Yerobam ben Nebat was such a great man that he was merit to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to him. He says, come with me, you, me, and David HaMelech. We are all going to walk in Gan Eden. What did Yerobam ben Nebat said? Yerobam ben Nebat said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Berosh, who gets in first? Is it me or is it David HaMelech? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ben Ishai Berosh. David HaMelech gets in first. He has a bigger coat. He said, Im kach ani lo mukhan lachzor bi. I'm not coming back. Do you understand what's going on here? You're talking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes back to Yerobam ben Nebat. He says, come with me. We all going to walk to Gan Eden. You're all going to go to Gan Eden. Me, Barosh, who gets in first? It's like you're walking in through the door. Who is walking in first? Is it me or is it you? And that decides if I want to come back to become to walk within Gan Eden, Hashem is going to take me in or I'm not going to walk in. This is the severity of Kavod. When people are looking for their own honor, they're looking for Kavod, there's nothing could stop them. That's the destruction of honor and self-respect that people want for themselves only. I want to tell you a story that Bardam in the Sephira, I saw this story in a lot of different places. We had one of the Gedolei Poskim, one of the great, great rabbis that we had was Rabbi Meshulam Igra. This Rabbi Meshulam Igra lived almost 200 years ago, and he was a great, great matmid. Was learning and was big Talmid Chacham. When he was a young man, he was going for a shidduch. The people heard that this Rabbi Meshulam Igra is such a gaon, and everybody wanted their daughter to marry him. The shidduch was made with one family. Rabbi Meshulam Igra went into the chatan. They went to the kala. It's not like today anymore that the kala has to go to chatan. They used to go to the kala. they went to the chatan. They went to the kala, and the family of the kala invited him in to have seuda. So now you have to understand, those days people were very poor. They had no idea the coffee was considered a luxury food. Sugar was considered unbelievable. Those days wasn't like today. When he went in, sat at the table, they brought him coffee, tea, and milk. But this Rabbi Meshulam Igra never saw coffee, never had the sugar. He walks and they bring it, he doesn't know what to do with this. What am I supposed to do? Coffee, sugar, and milk. He thinks to himself, he says, which one is more important? He thinks, which one I'm going to make bracha first? He says, probably I'm going to take the sugar first, then I'm going to take the milk first, then I'm going to get the coffee. Each one separately, he starts taking the sugar, it makes a bracha and eats. Then he takes the milk and he eats, drinks the milk, then he takes the coffee and drinks the coffee by itself. This kala, this bright seed, where did you find this guy? Where did you find somebody doesn't know what to do with coffee, milk, and sugar? Doesn't know how to mix it. Is then she goes to her father, starts crying, said, I don't want this guy, just get him out of here. Anyway, they send him away, and he goes on with his life, and she goes on with their life. 17 years passes from that incident. And this man, there was the father of the Kalla, the father of the bride. One time he went into a city to the room, the room that the Rav of the Rav Ishaya Fink. He was there is a place in the Gemarot, the Surat Hashas. He's the Mechaber of it, was a Gaon Olam himself. And he saw him that he's walking around the room and there's a paper he's looking at and he doesn't know what to do with it. He said, the man asked him, what's wrong? He said, we have a question, we don't know what to do. There's a question that everybody in Europe is thinking about this for months and nobody has an answer. Today, I got a letter from somebody that answered the question. And he writes and signs himself Meshulam Igra. Who is this Meshulam Igra? Once he says Meshulam Igra, this guy suddenly faints, just drops down. Says the Rav, says, how do you know who this man is? He said, you don't know. 17 years ago, we came for my daughter, and I told, because he didn't know how to drink coffee, I sent him away. He says, you need to faint again then. So if because of that you didn't get your daughter to marry somebody such as Adam Gadol, you need to stay faint. This is what is it, because of Kabbalah, it's Kabbalah. You have to look what's the ikar, what's the main thing. You're looking for, I'm such an unbelievable Chashuva family, the other one is not. You start a machloket. These are the ways that machloket starts, conflict starts because of that. Now, the first place, if somebody would ask you, what's the first place that you think the machloket, the conflicts are, what would you answer? I think the first place is shuls. I'm serious. Shuls are the prime place for machloket. People are coming to shul because they want to have machloket. And this is the reason that's the answer to the first question. Why doesn't it say machloket, zo machloket korach mo Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is it say korach ka'adato? The reason is because Korach and his 250 people, they didn't agree with Korach. Each one of them had his own agenda. If when Korach and 250 people came to fight Moshe Rabbeinu, they weren't all together. Each one had his own agenda. You want to have a machloket? I'm going to go with you. Am I agree with you? No. But everybody else. Everybody gets together for different agenda, but they have one thing in common. They want to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. When people go to shul, there has to be a place for davening. When people get together, talk about every shtuyot, every nonsense. They get together, talk about stuff that is unbelievable. What you hear in the synagogue is unbelievable. The information that passes through is more than FBI. People that they transfer stories and secrets and they make it up. Half of it is made up. This is what the shuls are about. This is why we go to shuls. When people get together, they want if that's what the shuls, better to daven at home. Don't go to shul. When people are getting together because they want to exchange information, what did you hear this week? I heard this week. What did you hear? Let's exchange stories, let's exchange information. Is that what the shuls are about? The second place for machloket is in the house. People's homes are the great place for machloket. So Gemara says to us, very interesting Gemara. Gemara says that Ben Azai had a long life. They asked Ben Azai, what did you do that you had such a long life? He says, I never had a machloket in my house. So what? Is that a big thing? That's why I have a machloket in your house? He says that people are much easier not to have a machloket outside the house. Because outside the house, everybody wants to look perfect. Inside the house are the place that everybody wants to have a machloket. Because that nobody sees. So then Azai says that I never had a machloket inside the house. Outside the house, people normally they don't have machloket. They stay calm outside. When they get inside, all the thing comes up. The machloket starts inside. And that's what he said. Now that takes us to family. When families have machloket and they have stuff going on, they have to understand that because of that, things could happen that destroys a lot of connections, a lot of relationships. Number one, when especially a husband and a wife, or somebody gets into the nerve of the other one, and I'm not going to tell you which one gets to the other one, whichever. What happens is that the parents hear about it, the neighbors hear about it, and the Chilul Hashem that comes out of it is unbelievable. And when something like that happens, everybody thinks that I'm right, and what happens? You go and talk to the neighbor, and the other one goes talk to his friend, and she talks to her friend, and before you know it, the whole street, one side of the street takes her side, the other side of the street takes his side. That's what happens. Because everybody talks. What business do you have to talk to somebody else about your problems? If two people have problems, that's why there is a psychologist, from psychologists, or there's a rab. Why do you have to talk to people about your problems? Your friends. Well, what's your friend has to do with this? Number two. When two people having a machlok have conflict in front of children, a lot of children, when they see their parents are fighting, they don't want to get married anymore. Did you know that? That's a known fact. A lot of children, a lot of adults, why they don't want to get married? Because they saw when they were younger, their parents were fighting. They have such a roshem on them. Has such an impact on them, they don't want to get involved with getting married anymore. And the third thing that is worse than all of them is when two people are angry and they're screaming at you, every garbage comes out of their mouth, and they have no boundaries. When people are bekas, when people are upset, they have no boundaries. And there's so much garbage comes out of their mouth that the impact could be for a long time. When people are upset, they don't think. But the other person that you are screaming at, they listen. And how you want to wipe all this out, that is not easy. Maharal tells us that there are three things that causes machloket between people, couples. It says beguf, benefesh, uvemamon. People that have machloket because of guf. What does that mean? A lot of times when two people get married, they had a certain way of living before they got married. When they get into the marriage, they bring that way also into them. They want to live the same way they lived before. Like, let's say the mashal. Some people, they like to open the windows when they sleep. Summer, winter, but doesn't make a difference. They open the windows. Now they get married, their wife doesn't like it. They open the window too. They don't want to make adjustment. That's number one cause of machloket. The second cause of machloket is benefesh. Nefesh means, the Maharal says, that everybody wants to show that he's the Baal Abbas. I'm going to show her, and she's going to say, I'm going to show him. I am the Baal. The way they talk, the way the words comes out of their mouth, shows that they are the Baal Abbas. And number three is Mammon. The way that they treat money, the way that they send the money, that also shows that because there's a lot of machloket between them. That's the third one, the Mammon, the money, is number one cause today in America, and number one cause of machloket between two couples. Because they don't have boundaries, how much to spend, how to spend, and where to spend, and what is their budget. They don't work with their budget. Therefore, you see that there are a lot of different ways that people have machloket, and the worst of it is that they don't know how to resolve it. Rav Nachman of Breslev says that people, especially couples, should not go to sleep until the conflict of that day is resolved. If it stays overnight, it's much harder to resolve it next day. It has to be resolved that day. A lot of times also Rav Nachman also says that when you want to say your side of the story, you have to say it only once. Don't repeat, don't go over and over and over and over again, because that when you say too many times, that also causes more machloket to come about. And the third thing is that every couple, I say this to all the couples that want to get married, and I say to a lot of people that they come, that they have machloket between themselves, every couple, no matter who you are and what you are, you have to have a third party that you always go ask your shaylot from. That's it. That's the best way of resolving your machloket. It could be a rav, it could be a rosh hashiva, it could be a frum psychologist, it could be somebody that both sides are agreeable to go ask da'at Torah. You have to have a da'at Torah. You have to have somebody knowledge of Torah to resolve the conflict. That's the best possible way that conflicts are resolved. If you don't have that, then everybody's right. And the last thing is that people, we say every day when we say Shemoneh Esrei, it takes three steps back. So, Oseshala, why do you have to take three steps back? The Mefarshim explained, in order to make shalom, you have to take three steps back. You can't stay in one place to make shalom. In order to make peace, you have to go back. You can't stay in the same place. It's not going to happen. Both sides, they have to take a step back. They have to move. If you stay in one place, never is going to be shalom. And the last thing I want to talk about is that when people talk about Talmidei Chachamim, or they are disrespecting Talmidei Chachamim, that also is the cause of a lot of machloket between Klal Yisrael. When people talk about Gedolim, they have no idea what they're talking about, and they have. But we have, it's like I always say, you never go to a mechanic shop and tell mechanic how to fix a car. How is it that when it comes to halacha, everybody becomes a Talmid Chacham? Everybody knows what to do. This is not our job. We have Gedolei Israel. We have Rav Eliashiv. We have Rav Ovadia Yosef. We have the other guy, Chaim Glaser. We have Baruch Hashem, a lot of Gedolim. When they guide us, we have to listen to what they say. Don't start asking questions. They don't know what they're talking about. It's not our place to question Gedolei Israel. And Rahman and some people start questioning. It's not only questioning. You say stuff. You say things. You mevazeh talmidei chachamim. You start disrespecting talmidei chachamim, and that causes machloket. If you are not a chassid, you are not chassidish, why do you talk about the rebbe of the chassidim? Don't talk about your house. What do you know about bells and satmer and vishnis and ger and all the other ones? Your rabbi is not good, my rabbi is good, other rabbi doesn't know what's happening. How do you know? And that causes a machloket between Jews. When somebody, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Hasidim, everybody has, there's a tape that I want all of you to listen. Go to the thing there. I gave a class about Ashkenazim and Sephardim. It's a tremendous tape. That why there are differences in Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Baruch Hashem, in America, there is not a conflict between Ashkenazim and Sephardim and Hasidim. They all are right. They are all doing the right thing. They all are fine. There is no need for people to even discuss chilukim, start conflicts, start machloket between Ashkenazim and Sephardim and Hasidim. They are all right. And the last thing I want to tell you, when I read you Halakha, says, "Amitna'egin b'nei Adam lifnim min ashura." When you treat people more than what they deserve, "Zoi derech ishara zaka ubara." That's the best path a Jew, a person, should go. "Ve'yavo al sacharo," and Hashem is going to give them the reward. When you treat people more than what they deserve, you go extra mile. You don't say, they did this, I'm going to do that. Hashem is going to treat you the same way. But if you take an extra mile to go and look for the good of them, Hashem also is going to do to look at you the same way. The Gemara tells us, "Ma'avir al midotav, ma'avirim pesha min hashamayim." The Gemara tells us that people, that they stay quiet when there is a machloket. When you shut your mouth, don't talk, don't answer back, don't fight, don't start that your husband or your wife comes to you and starts screaming, stay quiet. I always say, you can't have a fight with a table. When you become a chair or a table, nobody can fight you. When you stay quiet, nobody could say anything to you. Just stay quiet. You see how the machloket disappears. And this is the best way that the person could get rid of any conflict, any machloket. Any questions?